Hello, my name is Chrissy. I'm a trauma therapist and welcome to What Happened to You with Chrissy. So today I am going to give a very unscripted, very authentic, raw update into my life. So hopefully the audio is okay today as well because I'm actually on holidays right now and I didn't bring any of my microphones or equipments. I don't even have my laptop with me because it really needed to be serviced, so I had to send it off while I was away because I cannot live without my laptop while I'm at home running my business off it. So I haven't got my laptop, haven't got anything. I'm just filming this or recording this off my phone. So hopefully the audio is good. And I'm on holiday at the moment in North Queensland in Australia. I am in the most absolute amazing room right now. It's like a waterfront view room and I'm probably like 50 to 80 meters away from the water and I'm just like looking at this water and the mountain behind it. It's beautiful. And then the room that I was in before this was, or the hotel I was in before this was like a 5-star beautiful room as well, in Cairns, like right over the water, beautiful big bathtub looking over the views. And, you know, this holiday is like a prime holiday that people would take with their partner of a romantic holiday. So like beautiful views and like bubble bath bathtubs and like snorkeling and just like fine dining dinners and things like that. And, you know, I've been really down the last couple of months in a lot of transitions. And I think a part of the healing journey is being okay with the ups and downs. Because one thing that a lot of unhealed people do is they freak out as soon as they, maybe not unhealed, maybe a lot of people in general just freak out as soon as they start to get into a hard period. And a part of learning to be present, self-aware, and authentic in life is honoring the ups and the downs and the impermanence of situations. The non-attachment to things that you have no control over. So the last couple of months, anyone that doesn't know my backstory, I was traveling in a van for 9 months. Now, what caused me to make that decision is a few months before I brought my van, I think it was about 6 weeks before I brought my van, I went through a really tough breakup, a shattering breakup. I ended the relationship, but I didn't want to end it. I was very, very much in love with this person, but he was really struggling to show up for me. I'm pretty sure he was struggling with his own mental health, and for months and months and months, he was just like shutting down and giving me the cold shoulder kind of thing. And, you know, I still had so much love in my heart for him, and I didn't want to end it, but it was the only option at that time, I think, because you can't sacrifice yourself in order to help someone else who won't open up to you and won't talk about things. So I made that decision and it was earth-shattering for me, but I really, really, really wanted to do this van trip and I had wanted to do it for years. So I took the opportunity, and that's the thing, you can use breakups and really hard times to either feel sorry for yourself and just stay stuck, or you can use it as a driver to change. Like breakups can be one of the biggest, most powerful drivers to change. And so I decided, fuck it, I'm just going to go do this crazy thing and buy this massive 7-meter van and move into it. And then 3 months later, I got a border collie puppy who is now my baby and absolutely crazy. But dog mum life is not easy at the same time. He's 10 months old now, so I should be used to it by now. But he still is like a little toddler. He's actually being house-sitted by this amazing woman right now. Anyway, got way off track. Where was I? Oh, yeah, breakup led me to doing the van trip. I was in the van, really tough time in the van, but also a really powerfully healing time for me. I grew so much in that trip. I also finished my somatic healing studies. And so I also started working and growing my business while I was in the van, which was really powerful. And I really feel like the work that I do is like what I'm supposed to be doing. Like I've never felt this like passionate, had these amazing breakthroughs and connections with clients and just so much power in the work that I'm doing, so much meaning. And I'm just like, yep, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. So there was a lot of power and growth and healing mixed all in the van trip. And I was never sure in the time frame exactly. I knew I wanted to travel down the East Coast and I knew I wanted to go to Tasmania and spend some time in Tassie. And then I wasn't sure if I was going to come back and settle back home or is wanted to keep traveling. I was kind of keeping it open. But at the end of the trip, if anyone has ever done van life or lived in a vehicle, you know it is frigging exhausting. Like I can't even, like people think like you're just going to move into a van and that's going to be like nature time and like so chill and like reading a book with great views. And yes, there's little parts of like snippets of that, but so much of it is I don't know if I'd ever do it alone again. I'd go traveling with a partner again where you can share the load of things, but I don't think I would do that myself. Like you have to handle everything. You have to look after the traveling, the planning, where are you staying? Where are you going to use the bathrooms? Where are you shopping? You've run out of gas. You've run out of this. And then on top of that, working and also being alone, which is a very like, there's certain things in your life that are critical to health, and socialization and community and like real connection is one of those things that I would call very vital. So on top of that, you know, you do feel really alone and you have to face the parts of yourself that are not easy to face. So there was that. So I decided in the end, I'm going to come back. I'm just going to at least settle in my apartment. I had an apartment in the Sunshine Coast and the tenants were moving out. And so I was like, okay, I'm just going to settle in there for a little bit until I decide what to do. And I've probably been back in the apartment now for October. I think it's been like 2 months, I think. Yeah, I think 2 months. So, I've been in there 2 months and I think like once I got in back into the apartment, I decided to do some like crazy renovations, which took a couple of weeks and were really, really stressful and high energy. And I did pretty much all of them by myself. So that was like a crazy thing to do in the end of like such a hectic trip. And once I got back into the rhythm and stopped the renovations and that kind of thing, my body went into full freeze response. Like I didn't want to work out. I didn't want to eat. I didn't want to cook. I didn't want to go out. I didn't want to do anything. And that's been current for me for probably around 6 weeks now. And even though I have been feeling that way, I didn't want to do anything. I still have been pushing myself to do certain things like see friends and, I was doing my ice bath challenge and certain things like that. But what I observed over the 6 weeks, about 6 weeks, is that I have studied psychology. So I know the DSM-5, I know the diagnoses. I would probably class myself right now as having clinical depression. I'm not self-diagnosing myself, but that's what I'm observing in myself. And it's been interesting coming back to this place because I'm a therapist, right? So I help people with their mental health. So it's really important for me to also be really truthful with myself and with the people around me. And I have been, anyone that's been asking like, how are you really? I've been, or how are you? I've been being really honest and open. And this is one of the keys to mental health and healing, is really accepting your emotional state. There should not be any shame around the fact that you have depression, or I shouldn't have any shame around the fact that I have depression. So, you know, those depressive symptoms for me are really, really high. And it's been amazing to get out of my environment and to really come here and to make a big effort to like shift out of those patterns and those feelings. And so, you know, the first 2 days I spent in beautiful Cairns, just walking around. And then I came to this resort, just been looking at the beautiful views, spending a lot of time with myself. I've been reading a lot and just like also allowing myself to feel these feels, because back at home, you know, I'm taking care of a crazy puppy. I'm really busy in my business. I'm trying to keep active, those kinds of things. I'm not having as much time as I would like to be able to like truly rest, rejuvenate, and like feel into what I'm feeling. And so I'm honoring also that state of depression and that state of freeze, because one of the things that I teach my clients is that after a period of activation, and I would class my time in the van as being like a bit of a survival time, literally, like I feel like it was like a lot of like surviving that 9 months of just like moving and shifting and also building a business at the same time and being alone and making all of those decisions every single day. Of course, me coming back into my normal environment is going to be tough already. So I just feel like right now my body is like just rest, recoup, recover. And most mental health professionals would say, you know, get help. This isn't right for you to be feeling this way. It's wrong, da da da. They would shame you into what you're feeling isn't right, and to not honor those feelings and to not go into them. And so what I'm expressing in this podcast is that you do go into those feelings and that you do honor them and that you say that it's okay that you feel that way. And that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm actually honoring the fact that these feelings are genuine and there's a reason why they're there. It's not what's wrong with me. It's what has happened, what has caused me to lead this way. I put too much pressure on my body for too long moving around. And don't get me wrong, I'm not regretting my time in the van. I am absolutely glad that I did it. And I really think that I needed it in a lot of ways to shift a lot of things within me. But yeah, now coming back into my normal life and getting back into a routine, and life is busy once you're back in one place. We all know this, especially if you live in like a city type environment. There's a million and one things you want to do, as well as like socialization and friends, and like the daily pressures of life is just so much. And if you put that on top of your nervous system having been stressed or in a state of survival for a period of time, whether it be you lived in a van for a while or you started a business or your job's really hectic or you came out of a toxic or difficult, unhealthy relationship, your nervous system is going to be stressed. So you put normal life onto that nervous system, of course your body is going to try to protect you by putting you into a state of depression so it can rest, it can heal, it can regulate, and it can reset. And it's still important to do the things that you need to do in order to not stay in that state for too long, because we can get stuck in a state of depression for too long, for sure. But we need to honor that state as well. So how am I handling this state of depression? I'm doing many things. Hang on a second. I just want to have a drink of my tea. I've been like loving teas on this trip so much. So what am I doing? I am focusing on the basics. I am still connecting with my close friends, occasionally, at least like having one or two catch-ups a week with my like really close genuine friends. I am really prioritizing my sleep. Sleep is massive. Sleep is massive. And sleep is like fitness. You can't just like work on it for one period of time and then be like, yep, I have good sleep. Sleep is something you have to really be disciplined with. So for me, for myself, I'm working really hard on getting myself back into a sleep routine. I developed this program called Start With The Body, where I go through all of the health things, health steps, tips, things to focus on in order to really have a biology, like to focus on your biology and the physiological side of depression, anxiety, mood disorders, that kind of thing, because I've studied that side of things in my nutrition studies, through yoga teaching, through learning about somatics and the nervous system, and through psychology as well. And I really understand like there's an element of biology and there's an element of physiological changes with mental health. So it's really important to not only look at working with a therapist, but also your physiological body and what are you eating? What are you doing for sleep, nutrition, move? Oh, sorry, not, yeah, I said eating and nutrition, movement, low tox. Like there's so many different things. And I go through all of those different things. Check out my website if you want to know more. It's called Start With The Body. So sleep is one that I'm really focusing on. I'm also doing a bit of a shift and a change with my supplements and my health regime in regards to nutraceutical supplements and herbs. So I'm shifting those. I'm not going to go into like what I'm taking because I feel like everyone is so different and I go over all of this in that program, but I still rely on my naturopath to back everything up and to track me with certain things. So I'm shifting that as well. Movement wise, I am getting outdoors a lot more. I'm trying to do hikes, walk along the water. I'm trying to do some swimming. I'm eating as much like high quality calories as I can. And also another big thing I'm trying to focus on is getting at least 10 to 20 minutes of sunshine every day without sunscreen. Well, I put sunscreen on my face, but my body. So vitamin D deficiency is really, really high in people with depression and mental health disorders. And considering I just spent the last 6 months in really cold environments like the snow and Tasmania, I'm pretty sure I would be a little bit vitamin D deficient. So I'm really focusing on getting sunshine again. I'm really trying to walk a lot more. I said that, didn't I? Nutrition. Yeah, those are the basics that I'm trying to focus on. But in the midst of doing those things and making sure that I'm engaging in social activity, moving, sleeping, also for sleep, another one, should have wrote all of these down and not did it so unscripted. For sleep, schedule is critical. You need to really try to get a regular sleep and wake cycle within 1 hour. So say you have like a 9 p.m. bedtime, you need to be going to bed between like 8 a.m. and 10 p.m. between 1 hour of a bedtime, like not too much shifted. Like say you're going to bed at like 8 one night and then 11 the next, your body is really going to wake up really groggy in the morning and you're going to wake up and then you're going to want to go back to sleep and like have a nap in like half an hour. So try to get on a really good rhythm with your sleep. And then eating first thing in the morning is also something I would really, really push on a lot of people with like mental health, depression, all of that kind of thing. But in the midst of all of that, what I'm doing is I'm honoring this time in my life. I kind of expected for me to come into this phase of my life of settling back down and feeling depressed. I don't know why I expected it. I guess because when you're in the van, it is amazing in a lot of ways. As much as it's exhausting, it's also, I'm seeing beautiful views all the time. I'm traveling. I'm going where I want to go each day. Like it is really freeing and incredible. And I've seen so many amazing things. and you come back to normal life and it's a little bit like mundane and busy. And I remember speaking to my mum about this. I said, I know it's going to be hard going back to normal life after this. And so it's really important to honor your current state, particularly if you've been through a really hard period of time, some kind of like big breakup or stressful thing or big change or transition. Do not expect yourself just to be in an immediate amazing state and being hard on yourself for not being able to be where you want to be right now. Honoring where you are in life, in your mood, in your mental health is one of the most amazing things that you can do and will radically change your life if you can come to a place of acceptance and honoring that you don't have to feel good all of the time. You don't have to strive to having all of the things you've ever wanted all of the time. Life is impermanent. Life needs to be based on non-attachment to expectations. Otherwise, you're just going to get constantly disappointed. And it's okay to feel disappointed, but it prolongs your suffering if you sit in those disappointments and let it bring you more and more pain instead of just letting it go, accepting where you are and saying, hey, I'm struggling with depression right now. I just went through a big change, but I'm looking after myself. I'm allowing myself lots of rest and I know that I won't feel like this forever. And that is key, knowing that you won't, if you're completely happy right now, you won't feel that way for the rest of your life. I can promise you that. But if you're feeling really shit, down in the dumps, depressed, really hard on yourself, it won't stay like that either. As long as you work on yourself, you be present, you do the things you need to do to heal, to look after yourself, to love yourself, and everything is impermanent. Everything changes. So just honoring that. Okay, I think that's all I kind of wanted to say. I'm going to keep enjoying this beautiful holiday and honoring where I am right now. And I hope that this has helped you in some way to really honor where you are at with your mental health, with your life, with your attachments. Sending you all lots and lots of love. And I will speak to you in the next podcast. Bye.